like Brother BJ said, I just hope you come expecting. And if you didn't pray looking for something coming here, I hope you start now.
Yes, sir.
I was, I told my wife the other day that I was excited about getting to come. When BJ called me, I try not to interrupt folks. Try really hard not to interrupt folks. BJ called and he said, "You want to preach?" I said, "Yeah." He didn't even say, he was still talking, you know. He didn't even say where or what we was doing. And then he tells me revival, and I'm like, "Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah." And then he said, "You're going to start it off." And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah." And then I realized how important it is to start revival off. You know what I mean? I ain't never preached a revival. But it's got to be important to start one, you know. Got to be important to kick it off. Well, then I realized that I am sure thankful that you asked me to start it off. I'm sure thankful. Because I do not want to go after any of these men that's coming after. I don't want to at all. I thank God for being here. I thank God for bringing me here. But as I was preparing this message, I've been in a really good place in my life. I've been in a really good place mentally. I've been in a good place spiritually. And as I'm preparing this message and asking God to give me what He'll have us to have and what He'll have us to indulge in, I was getting confused. And I didn't know, I kept thinking, you know, I got to get something good. You know what I mean? Got to get something good. And I kept thinking, no, we can't do that. That's too simple. When God gave me the message, when He gave me the title, when He gave me what He wanted me to have, now that's too simple. It's a revival. You know, I wanted to bring something reviving and exciting and something new and maybe something you never heard. And I kept praying and I kept praying and I thought, well, maybe I can give my testimony. I've never gave my testimony here. And I said, no, we don't need to do, we'll just do that later. And then there was just so many things. And I was, like I said, just excited. And I got to praying and I got to seeking God. And I reminded myself, or God reminded me of the times that I've called and text Brother BJ when I'm going to preach somewhere and say, "Hey, man, I'm going here, going there, going to preach." And he'll say, "Just give them Jesus. Just preach Jesus and it'll all be okay. He'll take care of the rest of it." So tonight I don't have a big flattering title. I don't have anything that you haven't never heard. I feel like God just wants us to be simplistic tonight. I feel like God wants us to maybe get back to the basics a little bit. Maybe get back to the old times and the old way. The way that things used to be. The way that things were back when it really worked, and you didn't have to go through seven steps to get here, get there. It was just through one step, and it was Jesus Christ. And tonight, going through the person that has the healing power, the convicting power, the resurrection power, just going through Jesus. So tonight, I just want to give you a simple message. Just a simple title tonight. Are you in or are you out? It's probably a message that we've all heard before, but I'm asking you, are you in or are you out? As we start revival tonight, as we start going into these next several days of just coming and being with Jesus, like Brother BJ said last night, I'm sure that there's some excuse that you've already got not to come back. I'm just glad you came here tonight, but I hope you didn't come to see me. I hope you come seeking Jesus Christ. And I'm asking you right now that you will just... where you're at, that you'll just stop and begin to work on yourself. Begin to think of yourself and be just a little bit selfish tonight and look for the revival and look for what you came here to do.
Yes, sir.
Because I'm hoping that you came here seeking. If you will, I don't see a whole lot of visitors. I'm thinking that most of your Bibles will probably just fly right open to this if you're from Union Chapel. But if you will, turn with me to the book of Revelations.
Yeah.
The book of Revelations, chapter number 3. And this is where I struggled. I'm thinking, well, we've heard this.
Come on.
We've heard this. We've been there, you know. But as you preached this two Sundays ago, whenever it was, it struck me. We went home and we watched play the flute. We went home and watched that. And it got on me. And tonight I'm wanting to ask you, are you in or are you out?
Yes,
We're going to start with verse number 14, Revelation 3, 14. If you will, stand for the reverence of reading God's Word. And we're going to skip around just a little bit. But and unto the angel of the church of Laodicea, write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would rather thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of thy mouth. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you. I praise you, Father God, for allowing us to be here in your place tonight, Father. I thank you for showing up in this place already, Father God. I thank you for the men that prayed tonight in the prayer room. I thank you for the songs that were sung. I thank you, Father God, for the words that's been spoke already. I thank you, Father, for the ones that made the commitment and made the effort to make it out here tonight. I'm asking you, Father, for the ones that came searching and the ones that came seeking, Father, that you'll just give them what they have and what they want, Father God, what they need and what you need them to have, Father. Lord, I'm asking you right now in the name of Jesus, Father God, that you'll just reach down in this place. You'll come in this with your Holy Spirit, Father God, and just sit down with us. I'm asking you, Father, that you hide me far in the shadows of the cross. I pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you'll touch each and every person here. You'll pour out conviction on our hearts and our minds. And I pray that, Father God, that not I be seen, but you be seen over me, Father. And Lord God, that you just have your way and your will in this place. Lord, I love you and I do thank you. I ask you to forgive us where we failed you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 If you will, turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 12. The book of Matthew, chapter number 12. We're going to start with verse number 30 as we start diving into what God will have us to look at tonight. Verse number 30. He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me, scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all matter of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but blaspheming against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven unto men. I'm asking you tonight, are you in or are you out? Are you for God or are you against God?
Yes, sir.
Tonight there's two different people in this place. And you decide who you are. You do a self-examination of tonight and just dive down in your soul and where you've been and where you're at in life. And it don't matter where you've been or where you're at. I want you to know that tonight you come to this place for a reason. God has brought you here for a reason. It's not by happenstance. It's not by sure luck. You didn't just drive by and say, the church lights are on. We're going to stop. We've been praying about this for days. We've been for weeks even. It's been thought on. It's been planned out. Even tonight, the places that you sit tonight have been anointed and prayed on. You have been prayed over, you have been prayed with, and it's brought you to this place tonight. And I want you to know that there's two different types of people in here.
Yes, sir.
There's those that are with God, and there's those that are against God.
Right.
I'm sure that some of you have made a choice, even today, even throughout your normal life, you've made a choice at some point that you've either chose God or you chose to be against God. And if you haven't had that choice today, I'm urging you right now in the name of Jesus that you just stop what you're doing. You stop looking down. You don't pray. You don't read no more. You just start praying right now that God just gives you the strength to be with Him when that time comes, because it'll happen. It'll happen. Whether you're listening or not, it's going to happen. You're going to face that decision, I would say, probably in the next week. Whether you come to the rest of the revival or not, you're going to be faced with that decision.
That's right.
You said a mouthful yesterday when you said you've already made excuses not to come back.
Come
Somebody here has already made an excuse that you're not going to come back Wednesday because you got to go here, there, or everywhere. You're not going to come back Thursday or Friday or even tomorrow. A lot of people, there's a few people I'm sure that's even thinking about leaving now, that's been thinking about leaving since you got here. And I'm telling you, there's two different types of people. Which one are you? Are you against God? Are you for God? Christians, tonight I'm asking you, are you against God? Are you for God? Matthew, you don't have to turn there. I'm paraphrasing tonight, but Matthew chapter number 7, verse 15, God says, "Beware of false prophets." And goes on to say that you'll know them by their fruits. You'll know them by their fruits. I'm addressing the Christians tonight. Those that come to this place or any place even. Those that may not even go to church if you're here and you just happened upon the place. I'm addressing the Christians, the one that profess Christianity. The one that's asked Jesus into their hearts tonight. I'm addressing you right now. God's addressing you right now. Are you with Him? Or are you against Him? Are you a false prophet? Are you a real prophet? Tonight I'm asking, even down in the book of Matthew, I'm sorry, I am going to turn there. I didn't write this down, didn't type it up. Chapter number 7, verse number 21. Christians, "Now everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord," not everyone that saith unto me, "Lord, Lord," shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. He that is with me, he that does the will of God which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many works?" And then I will profess unto them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity." Christians, tonight I'm asking you, do you work iniquity? What have you done in the last week? What have you done in the last 24 hours? Have the things that you've done, have the things that you've went through and done throughout the last 7 days, have they been for God or have they been against God? We talk about all the time, I've mentioned this several times, I don't know about here, I guess I'm thinking about preaching elsewhere, but I've mentioned several times in several places, if you was put on trial today, and all the things that you've done over the last 7 days, all the things that you've done over the last 7 days, would you be found guilty of being for God or against God? And I really hope you get tired of hearing me say that tonight. Are you for God or are you against God? Would your phone history show that you're for God or against God? Would your song history show that you're for Him or against Him? Would your thoughts and your dreams and just your day-to-day life show that you're for God or against Him? Because the thing is you're all the way in or you're all the way out. You're all the way in or you're all the way out. There's no straddling the fence. There's no straddling the fence. This is why we need to get back. I feel like we need to get back to the old way. This is, as I was preparing this and I was getting ready to start typing my message, and my wife got on to me yesterday, said I procrastinate too much. But I always like to type my message before I give the message so it's fresh, because I wander a lot, you know. And if I don't have my notes, I'll be way off over in left field and I forgot what I was preaching about, you know. But anyways, as I was getting ready to start, I was confused. I thought that God wanted me to talk about the wedge. I really did. I thought that God wanted me to preach that. And as I was beginning, I started getting text. And I was like, I just said, "God, if you'll just give me something. Just give me that confirmation." And there's so many texts that started pouring in that people were praying for me. And you don't know the men that did that, the first two that did that, you'll never know. And I'll thank you later. I'm not going to just broadcast it, but I just want you to know you were so in the Spirit when you text me and you told me that you was praying for me. You told me that you was with me. You let me know that you was there. And I just thank you so much for that. But it gave me so much confirmation that we need to know whether we're in for God or we're out. It gave me so much confirmation, and it just brought so much joy that I knew to know that people were praying. And we complicate things too much, though. We complicate things. And that's why I say we need to get back to the old way. Because it seemed like that worked a little bit better. Now, I ain't the oldest folk in the room. You know? BJ's a little bit older than me. He likes to associate me with old folk. Okay? He does. He you know what I mean? It's because of my maturity as a man, you know. It's because of my maturity level, and that's why he thinks that I should be associated with such, you know, eloquent people. We'll put it that way. You know what I mean? We'll put it that way. But if we could just get back to the times where a man took a Bible and he preached the Word, and we wasn't worried about all the other things. And we didn't have to compete with all the other things. And we could just get back to the Bible. And we could just get back to Jesus. I feel like it would be so much easier. There wouldn't be so many things. I don't know if y'all listen to other pastors and other preachers outside of here, but you can get lost looking in YouTube. Okay? You can start listening to the wrong folks. And I'm not casting down nobody. I'm not calling out nobody. But I am telling you that there's people out there that just don't really see eye to eye with the way that we see things in this church. They just don't. They don't see eye to eye with the old way. They don't. There's people and there's preachers and there's churches that don't even use the word sin. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah.
They use something like, they just don't use sin.
Disease.
Yeah, disease. Yeah, it's a disease. It's a sin.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Sin.
I mean, it's a three-letter word, and that's what we do. It's a sin. It's what separates us from God.
Right.
It's what keeps us from being closer to God. And if you don't have repentance in your life,
yes,
you're not getting close as you need to be with God.
Yes.
If you don't repent and you don't just turn away from your sin, you can't be saved.
Right.
But I felt like we needed to get back to the old way.
Yes, sir.
The more simple way. And I'm going to show you how simple it is. I'm going to give you an example of the old way and how simple it is to know whether you're in or you're out. I realized in thinking about the old way that I'm the eldest pastor, or the eldest preacher rather, that's going to preach this week. That was somebody's time. But anyways, I'm the oldest one. So whatever. So I remember a time, and I can say that because I'm the eldest this week. I remember a time that when I had friends over, when I didn't have friends over, that my mama would say, you either go outside or you stay inside. You ain't going in and out the door. You've used that analogy before. You're either in or you're out. Pick one. It don't matter to me which one it is, but pick one. Now, maybe not so much. Now we got, I don't know, my kids sometimes when it's hot, they don't really know that there's water hose outside. You know? So we're going to run for a minute, and then we got to go inside and get a drink. You know? And then we got to go back outside and run for a minute. And then we got to come back inside and make sure that somebody's still inside or something, you know. Make sure that the rapture didn't happen and they got left back. But they just wanted to make sure that somebody's inside. Tonight, God's wanting to make sure somebody's inside. Here in just a little bit, there's going to be an opportunity. We're going to have an altar call.
Yes, sir.
You're going to have the opportunity to get back to the spout where the glory runs out.
Yes,
you're going to have an opportunity to come to an old-timey altar and do business with an old-timey
yes.
God. You're going to have an opportunity to do to get rid of the sin that's in your life and get rid of the separation and the wedge that's driving you away from God. You're going to have an opportunity at that tonight. So I'm asking you, are you with God? Are you against God? Jesus is telling us the same thing in Revelations 3:15. That if you're back in the day when whoopings were around, I don't know about y'all, I try not to do it a whole lot, but we whoop folks around my house. And if I told my kids, you're either going out or you're staying in, and we kept running out the door, there's probably going to be a whooping that takes place. There very well might be. And I know that there, back in the day, my mama would have whooped me.
Yes.
Or she would have got my daddy to whoop me.
Yes.
Well, Jesus in 15 is saying the same thing. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. I'm sorry, 16. So because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Jesus is telling us that it's so sickening to him to see somebody try to straddle the fence. It's so sickening to him that he would rather spit you out as he had had. He don't want you to be, he would rather see you cold than he had hot. Think about that. A man that went and died on the cross for you had rather see you cold than he had see you hot. Or see you lukewarm, sorry. He would rather see you do one or the other than straddle the fence and try to play the world and play Christian. You come to revival tonight to get revived. You come to revival tonight looking for something, I hope. You come to revival, I hope, to get hot. I'm hoping that you come to revival to rekindle the fire. And since God said, since you're neither one, I'll spew you out of my mouth. He don't want to share us. He don't want to share us with any part of the world. He don't want us to go, Well, I can go over here and act this way, and maybe these people might start coming to church with me. If you get them that way, they're probably coming for the wrong reasons. If you get them, listen, I'm saying this, God knows my heart, I'm saying this as a trier of that, and failed. None of them are here, and they were invited. None of those people are here. The old-fashioned way. God don't want to share you with anyone. Exodus 34 and 14, for you shall worship no other God. For the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. He's jealous. He don't want to share you with nobody. Or nothing. He don't want to have to fight for nothing of yours. He's done died on a cross. Why should he have to fight for your love? Why should he have to just, not even just your love, why should he have just have to fight for your time? Why should he have to fight for any part of your life? But we continually step away. And we continually walk away. Christians, I can't speak for you. I can't speak for none of you. But I know that Jesus died for me. He suffered for me, JD. I got so much out of that last night. He suffered for me. He paid a debt for me that He didn't owe. 1 Corinthians 6:20, you were bought with a price. You were bought with a price, and that was the death. That was the death and the crucifixion of Jesus. You were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body and your spirit because they are God's. If you woke up in the morning, I want you to think about this. Most people, there's a good bit of older folks here. If you have a mortgage on your home, raise your hand this morning, this evening. If well over half the people here have a mortgage on their home. If you've got your home paid off, praise God, thank for you. But think back to a time when you didn't have your home paid off. Okay, let's pretend for a minute. If you woke up in the morning and you checked your banking account, or you went to pay your mortgage, you went to the bank, and you was going to hand them a check for whatever that payment is, whatever it is, and they said, "Oh, sir, you don't owe anything. It's been paid in full." You'd probably be pretty happy, right? Well, if you found out that I paid it in full, next time you see me, you'd probably hug my neck. I would think, I would hope. If you found out whoever it was, you'd probably want to go hang out with them. Maybe buy them lunch. Maybe take you the payment you're going to give. Something. You want to give them something. You want to help them out. I know I would. That's what Jesus done for you. He paid it all. And if He's willing, just got me thinking. If He's willing to do that for somebody like me, because I know where I was, and I know my thoughts, and I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me. I know where Bradley came from. I still remember the day that I knelt down in a mud hole and asked God to come into my life. I can tell you the whole story. When I started going to church, I can tell you when the change started taking place. I can tell you when things start. And here's the thing, this message is so important in my life, and it's so meaningful to me, because for so long I tried it. For so long, the man sitting back here, Brother Tom, for so long I would go to his house and I would watch games or UFC fights or whatever it might have been. Whatever it was. And I would go and we would be there, and it was a great time. We was becoming good friends. Everything was good. We would go work out together. We was hanging out together. I was going to church with him. But then when the fight was over, when the game was over, when I got to my truck, before I got in the driver's seat, I was reaching in the cooler in the back. This means so much to me, and it's so convicting to me, because I lived the life that I'm telling you about. And I'm telling you that the day that I got saved, there was no further that I could go. There was no further that I could go, because I knew. I felt that if I took one more step, if I went one more step, that I would probably die and go straight to hell. And it is my prayer that nobody has to face that tonight. So Christians, the Christians that are straddling the fence tonight, the ones that are here that are living in the world, but you're putting a face on when you come to church. You're wearing the suit. You're wearing the pants. You're bringing the Bible. But it's collecting dust at home. You're wearing the Christian face when you're here. But you're taking it off and sticking it in the console of your truck when you go to work. When you're with your family. Well, we're on vacation. We're supposed to relax a little bit. When you're by yourself, like I said, what about the phone history? What about the song history? What are you listening to? What are you looking at? Christians, what are you doing? Are you in or are you out? I get to thinking about what God done for me, and the least thing I can do is be on His side. Are you in or are you out? Lost person here tonight. I'm praying for you. But I'm going to ask you this question. And I hope you take it so seriously. If there's somebody here that's lost, I pray that there's not. But if there's somebody here that's lost, that hasn't made a decision, that needs to make a decision, I'm going to ask you this question so that you can say, you cannot say, that you've never been invited. Are you in or are you out? Are you in or are you out? Back at Revelations chapter number 3 and verse number 20, this scripture is so important. It's so important that everyone needs to hear. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's knocking tonight. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and be with him and he with me. He's knocking tonight. Lost person, Christian, he's knocking. Brother BJ said the other night, a couple Sundays ago, whenever it was, he's knocking. But he won't open the door for you. It's up to you. It's up to you. I know everybody's got an excuse for everything these days. And that's why I said what I said a minute ago. You'll not be able to say when we get to heaven, you'll not be able to say, there wasn't no preacher that asked me. If you're in here tonight, if you're in here, I'm charging you with the question, are you in or are you out? Are you saved or are you not? Are you with Jesus or are you with the world? You came here looking for something. It doesn't matter where you are in life. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter how low you've gotten. It doesn't matter how much miry muck you're in. It doesn't matter. The only thing that matters tonight is the question. Are you in or are you out? It doesn't matter how lost you are. And it sure don't matter how bad you are. If He could save the chief of sinners, He could save you. I want you to know right now where you are in life that Jesus loves you. It doesn't matter if anyone else in this, it doesn't matter. If anybody else loves you, Jesus does. He loves you so much that He sent His Son to suffer and die for you. And He's knocking tonight. He's knocking. It always just really fills my heart to know that God doesn't need me. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need any of you. He doesn't need anybody else in any church. He don't need this building. He don't need the new building. He don't need any of us. But He wants me. He wants me. And I don't know about you, but I've been in a place in my life where I felt unwanted. And I know what it's like to be rejected. And I know what it's like, to be pushed away. And to know that somebody wants me despite of me. He wants you despite of what's inside of you. He wants you, no matter what you've done or what you've been through, or what you, it don't matter. What you've seen or what you, it don't matter. He wants you. And this is, I'm going to leave you with this. Or as we begin to close, rather. I've got this in bold in my notes. And to know this, it makes me so happy. That God will leave the 99 and come after the one. When He found me, He put me on His shoulder and took me back and said, prepare a feast. God's leaving the 99 tonight. And He's coming after you. I don't know if anybody's ever told you this, but you are the one tonight. You may go to work and not be the one tomorrow. You may go home and not be the one. But in Jesus' eyes, you're the one. And He's asking you, or I'm asking you tonight, and He's convicting, I hope He's convicting you tonight. Are you in? Are you out? Are you going to open the door? Are you going to stay there and just let Him keep knocking? The ones, it is my belief, I can't prove this to you, but the ones that stay and don't open the door tonight, they'll be the ones that have the biggest excuse come tomorrow night and Wednesday night and Thursday night and Friday night, because I'm telling you, the Spirit will be here every night. The conviction will be here every night. The power will be here every night. So are you in? Are you out? I believe wholeheartedly at this point in this message, that somebody has been faced with a decision. It's too quiet. It's too peaceful. The Spirit's here. You've been faced with a question. And some people's choice will be big and have big consequences. Some will be throughout this week, you'll make choices, and you'll have a big choice where there'll be a bold line drawn in the sand. And it'll be, you either stand for Jesus or you don't. You choose the world. You're going to be faced with that this week. Some of them will be big. Other ones will be small and minute and just little minor decisions that won't really matter. And you'll probably never think of them again. But you will be faced with a choice. To either be in or be out. God says that if I be for you, can't nobody be against you. He said He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And He's asking for the same in return. So, you choose. Are you with Jesus? Or are you with the world? I know for me and mine, I stand with God. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You. I praise You again, Father God, for allowing us to come here tonight. I thank You, Father, for allowing us to worship You in spirit and truth. I'm asking You, Father, as You pour out conviction on this place, Father, on hearts and minds of these people, Father God, I pray, Father, that You'll just touch them and bless them real good, Father. I'm asking You, Father God, for each and every person each and every person up here that's fixing to sing, Father. I pray you bless them, Father. I pray, Father God, you just anoint this altar, Father God. Yes, I'm asking you, God, that you pour out a double portion of your Holy Spirit. I pray, Father, that you give us all a Job like hedge as we go throughout this week, as we're faced with the choice to either be for you or against you, Father. I pray that each and every person here choose to be for you. For the lost person here tonight, I'm asking you, Father, that you pour out on them. I'm asking you, Father, you pour out like never before. I'm praying right now, Father, for the rest of this revival, Father. You will just show up and show out. And I'm thanking you for it in advance because we know it's already going to be done. Lord, I love you and I do thank you and I pray you just forgive us all where we failed you. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.
Amen. I ask you to stand.